may be seated. Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. The heading just under Psalm 92 says, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. A psalm or a song. These psalms are songs. These are all songs. David was a musician, and he wrote songs. He enjoyed music, and he wrote his love to the Lord in songs. And he said, this is a song for the Sabbath day. You know what the Sabbath day is? It's the day of rest. That's what it is. The day of rest. David said, this is a song to acknowledge our rest. Rest is so good. I'm a huge fan of rest. It's so, don't you love rest? Don't you love it? Peaceful rest is so good. Rest from working is so needful. If you work, and I know you do, rest from hard manual labor is so sweet. It is so sweet. But that's not the rest David's talking about. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Christ, our Sabbath, has provided a heavenly rest. A heavenly rest. He's provided a spiritual rest, a saving rest to the people of God. A true rest. A true rest. And we enter into that while we're here. We don't enter into it generally out in the world because we're too busy working. But we come into this place, we take a break from that work, we come into this place, and we open up God's Word, and we are reminded of the fact that Christ has secured an eternal, saving, heavenly rest. And it's so sweet. It's such a good thing. Our Lord said in John 17, Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. As our Lord hung there on the cross, He was redeeming His people, settling their debt. What love, what love, that He would come settle our debt, this huge debt we incurred. I'll pay it all. Earning our acceptance. It says in John 19, verse 30, when our Lord therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. And He did that for us to secure our rest. David said, I am singing this song. He said, that's worthy of a song. That makes me want to write a song. And he said, I'm singing this song to Christ my rest. Christ my Sabbath. Go with me back to our text, Psalm 92. Verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing to sing. That's what David said. That's the title of this message. It's a good thing to sing. It's a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name. That ought to be the subject of every song we sing. That ought to be the subject of every song we sing. Every time. Thanks and praise. He has convinced us in our hearts that our labor before Him is over. It's over. We're convinced of that. The reason we sing is because it is finished. That's the motivation for the song. That's the entire reason this heart sings. It's finished. Go with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 19 says, "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." He said, "I will rejoice and joy in my people. I'll rejoice in them. They rejoice in me. I rejoice in them." And He said, the voice of crying is going to be no more heard. The voice of weeping is going to be no more heard. It's all going to be over. It's all going to be settled. He said in verse 23, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." I thank God for that last line. Every time I see lines like that, it gives me such hope. It truly gives me hope. He said, "I love them. They're the seed of the blessed of the Lord. I'm going to bring them to New Jerusalem. I'm going to put them on this new earth. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to rejoice in them. I'm going to joy in them. And not only that, I'm going to bring their offspring with them." I love that. I pray He will. I pray He will. Lord, save our children. Verse 24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." I can't wait to experience that. Walk up with a question in my heart and never get it out. He just tells me what I wanted to hear. Before they even call, I'll answer. What He's saying is, when it comes to asking for things, we're talking about praise and thanks. And when it comes to asking for things, He said, before my people ever get their words out, I'm going to answer. I'm already going to know. I'm already going to answer. I know every single thing they're going to ask for. I know. When they come before me, there's no need for supplications. I know. Look with me at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." He knows. He knows. He already knows. Whatever it is we could ask for, He already knows. The only thing that leaves us with is praise and thanks. That's all that He leaves us with. Praise and thanks. There's nothing we could ask for that He does not already know. And there's nothing that we need that He will not provide for us. All that leaves us with is praise and thanks. David said, "It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to His name." He has given us so much reason to sing praise to His name, hadn't He? So much reason. We just sang, "Come, Thou, Fount of every blessing, Source of every blessing." You know, don't you love a fountain? A fountain just keeps on going. Just keeps on pouring. "Come, Thou, Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. The same song that they're all singing in glory right now. Would you teach me that? Would you teach my heart to sing that? Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love." That is the heart of my song. That fountain of redeeming love. When this heart gets a hold of the streams of mercy that are never ceasing, it can't help but sing. It just cannot help but sing. When it truly gets a hold of it, it calls for songs of loudest praise. Don't you love songs that are loud? There's a reason why I love number 206 too. I've always loved 206 ever since I heard it. I love singing. I love singing from the heart. I love singing in a full congregation. It calls for songs of loudest praise. Lord, don't hold my tongue back. Don't hold my heart back. It's a good thing. It's such a good thing to sing. I love in the song Marching to Zion, and tonight we sang, "Come We That Love the Lord." That song is the same verses as Marching to Zion. Those four verses in the second song we sang tonight, it just doesn't have the chorus in a different tune. But the verse 2 says, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God." Once a sinner sees God, once a sinner sees the gospel, the sweetness of the gospel, once a sinner sees Christ, once a sinner's eyes are open to the difference in Calvinism and Christ, once a sinner sees forgiveness, he has to sing. He just has to sing. He has to. Charles Spurgeon said, "Nature itself teaches us to express our gratitude to God." He said, just look around. Nature itself teaches us to express our gratitude to God. He said, "Do not the birds sing and the brooks as they flow?" When I read that, it reminded me of a story that I haven't told in a few years. I told it a lot, so I stopped telling it. It's been a few years. But he said, "Don't the birds sing praises to God? And don't the waterfalls in the streams sing praises to God?" Do you remember the story of Mr. Burke? Mr. and Miss Burke. Back in the horse and buggy days a long time ago, everybody got around on horse and buggy. This man, Mr. and Miss Burke, she was a believer. And she attended in the assembly there in their town, their little town. And Mr. Burke was not a believer. And he had no interest in the gospel. She tried to get him to go and tried to get him to go, and he wouldn't go. He had no interest. None at all. But the congregation was having a conference. They were having a meeting Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday morning. And she asked her husband, she said, why don't you go to the... Friday night came, you know, Friday night rolled around. And she asked him, why don't you go to the services with me tonight? I'm going to have to ride over there by myself. Why don't you come hear the gospel preached with me? And he said, oh, all right, I don't have anything else to do. So he hooked the buggy up to the horse and they went to the service and he listened to the man stand up and preach. And as soon as the service was over, he hightailed it out of that building. He got up in that buggy and he sat there. She was doing her talking and visiting, all that kind of. Finally, she comes out. She gets in the buggy. And all the way home, he is mad as a hornet at her. Furious with her. He said, what did you tell that preacher about me? He said, I know you did. I know you did. How does he know so much about me? He said, I'll never go back ever again. Never. That was it. Not doing it. I'll never listen to that man ever again. Well, Saturday night came and she's getting ready to go to the service and she, you know, was planning on going by herself. And he said, what time does that service start tonight? She said, 7 o'clock. Why? He said, all right, I'm going to go one more time. I'll go one more time. Just once. So they head over to the service, sit down, same thing. Storms out of the building, mad as a hornet. That's it, never again. Not doing it ever again. That was that preacher's last chance. Well, that night, Miss Burke got sick. Sunday morning, she was still sick, too sick to go to the service. But she noticed her husband got up, got dressed, got ready, and she said, what are you doing? He said, one more time. I'll go one more time. But that's it, one more time. So he hooked the buggy up, went to the service, sat down in the pew. God's servant stood up. God opened his heart. God touched his soul. He heard the sweetness of the gospel. He heard Christ. God broke him. He learned who he was. God picked him back up. He blessed him. And he said it all started welling up inside him. And he said it was overtaking him. And he said, as I was riding home in the buggy, he said, I heard the trees for the first time in my life. It sounded like they were all clapping their hands saying, glad you're saved, Brother Burke. He said, I heard the birds sing for the first time in my life. It sounded like they were all singing, glad you're saved, Brother Burke. He said, I went over that little bridge coming out of town, and that water flowing under the bridge sounded like it was saying, glad you're saved, Brother Burke. He made it all the way home, and he put his horse in the stall, and he put his buggy up, and he was walking up his back walk to his house. And his wife was standing at the top of the steps with her hands on her hips, and she said, God saved you, didn't he? And he said, well, yeah. How'd you know? She said, I heard you coming all the way down the driveway singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If a man ever sees God and ever sees the gospel and ever sees Christ, he'll start singing. He'll start singing. Everybody that God saves sings. Everybody that God saves sings. Go with me back to Psalm 92. Verse 1 says, It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. We're singing and we're praising and we're thanking to show forth how loving and how kind you've been to us. That's why we're singing. And he said, we do it in the morning. We do it first thing in the morning. It is so good and so profitable for the inner man. It's so profitable for the day to start out first thing with praise and thanks. Praise and thanks. Lord, thank you for another peaceful night. Thank you for another peaceful night. Thank you, Lord, for another night where I didn't get a phone call with terrible news. Lord, thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning, all of us. Thank you for allowing all of us to get up. Thank you, Lord, for health. Thank you for this house. Lord, thank you for this bed. How many people? I wonder how many people, you know, you say the world. I wonder how many people in Kingsport, Tennessee don't have a bed. Just Kingsport. Lord, thank you for food. All of your provisions in this life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Where would we be if we didn't have this word? Thank you, Lord, for your gospel. Thank you for a place to meet. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you so much. Thank you for remembering me and not passing me by. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. It is so good to thank Him first thing in the morning. And David said it's so good to thank Him each and every night. Verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Spurgeon said, clouded or clear, moonlit or dark, calm or tempestuous, every night is suitable for a song upon the faithfulness of God, since in all seasons and under all circumstances, it abides the same. It's always the same. No matter what the night holds, it does not change His faithfulness to us. So he said, let's sing unto the Lord. Let's do it first thing in the morning, last thing every night. And he said in verse 3, let's sing praises and give thanks upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. Music is an important part of worship. I'm starting to realize that more and more. I've always loved music and I've always played music in worship and but I'm starting to realize that more and more. Music is a vital part of worshiping our God. Our God created music. He created voices. He created singing. Our Lord sang. And the instruments that our God has allowed to be made, it's a good thing. Sometimes we wonder, you know, should this instrument be used in worship? Should that instrument be used in worship? Turn with me over to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and pipe. That's what dance translates to, pipe. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. I love to hear an organ in a worship service. I do. Some people don't care for organs. Some people like them just fine. I love them. Some congregations have pianos and organs. I think they sound so beautiful together. I think the music, I love how it makes everybody sing louder. I love organs. All of these instruments. Brother Dan Culver, the pastor in Wheelersburg, he plays a saxophone. And he'll play it in the worship service. I love to hear him play that saxophone in the worship service. In Lexington, Brother Rich Bird plays a trumpet. Usually they start their conference with him on trumpet. I love to hear him play that trumpet in a worship service. Verse 5 says, praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 33 says, play skillfully with a loud noise. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. But here is the key to it all. Here's the key to it all. Look back at Psalm 92. Verse 3 says, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Play from a heart of sincere worship. Sincere worship. We're not putting on a show. Play as unto the Lord. If any man play, may the Lord allow him to enter into a place in the heart where he's playing for one, the audience of one. If any man play, let him play unto the Lord. Play as unto the Lord. That has nothing to do with whether it's fast or slow, whether the music is happy or sad. It has everything to do with the heart. It's okay to have a wonderful grace of Jesus. That's a up song. That's okay. It doesn't matter if we use every single note in the scale or one note. Either way is okay. It's okay. As long as it's truly from a heart of worship. A true desire to worship and praise and honor. Not me. Not the instrument, not my ability to play the instrument, the Lord. Let it be unto the Lord. Please, Lord, let us do everything as unto You. David said in verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For, because Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. You've made me glad. That's why I'm singing. That's why I'm singing. It's because I'm glad. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad You're saved. Glad You're saved. So glad. I'm singing because I'm so thankful for Thy work. That's what David said. Thy work, the work that Your hands have wrought for me. I'm so thankful for that robe of righteousness You've wrought for me. I'm so thankful for the covering of that blood. I'm singing, verse 4 says, for Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. I'll triumph in the works of Thy hands. That's why I'm singing. That's what I'm singing. All of my triumph is in the works of Thy hands. The Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. How good it is just to give thanks. That's wonderful, isn't it? Just to give thanks. We have so much reason to. May the Lord cause us to all the time. All right, let's stand together. Turn with me, if you would, to 221. 221. Some thank the Lord for friends and home. But I would praise Him for His grace and prayer I would repeat. Thank